Bibles towards the end of each pew, but you'll find the words for the scriptures on the screen. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 42. It's on page 727 in the church Bibles in the pews. The servant of the Lord. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people in a light and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. This can be found on page 967 in the Bibles in the pews. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, as we look together at the Bible, pray that you would give us listening ears and obedient hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Do sit down. If you had to list the key moments in Jesus' life, what would you write down? I hope we'd all write down his death and resurrection. Maybe we'd write down his birth in Bethlehem. Maybe his ascension 40 days after his resurrection. Those are all key moments in Jesus' life. But would we include Jesus' baptism? Perhaps we've never thought about it before. Jesus' baptism appears in all four Gospels, so the Gospel writers thought it was important.
So let's see what Matthew has to teach us about Jesus' baptism. Let's turn up Matthew chapter 3, page 967 in the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 3. In the first part of this chapter, we see John the Baptist in action. He's preaching to large crowds. He's telling them to repent of their sins. He's baptizing people in the River Jordan as a sign of their repentance. But John's also telling them about another person on the way, someone much greater than John. This person would baptize them with fire, the fire of judgment. And he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit, making them fit for God. A much greater person is on their way. Then along comes Jesus to be baptized. In these few verses, we're going to see all the members of the Trinity in action. We'll see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's look at them in more detail. We see three things from the Trinity in these verses. We see empowering from the Spirit. We see approval from the Father. And we see commitment from the Son. Firstly then, empowering from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus at his baptism. Have a look at verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. The dove is a clear symbol of the Holy Spirit. That goes right back to the second verse of Genesis. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Hovering like a dove. The Spirit was present at creation, and that same Spirit is present at Jesus' baptism. This baptism takes place at the very start of Jesus' ministry. For 30 years, he's been growing up in small town Galilee. He's been filling in as a carpenter, but his real job is about to begin. So, what does he need to carry out his real job? He needs the power of the Holy Spirit to work through him. The Holy Spirit was always at work in Jesus, even when he was lying in a manger, even when he was in Mary's womb. But Jesus began to work in a new way after this baptism, defeating the devil in the desert, preaching, healing, casting out demons, performing miracles, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some years ago, we bought some raspberry plants. They came in a smallish parcel, several canes with some roots attached. They all looked dry and dead, the sort of thing you'd throw on an autumn bonfire. But we followed the instructions. We planted them in our backyard. We covered the roots with soil. Then we watered the whole lot generously, and soon the rain joined in. And it worked. A few weeks later, new canes were shooting up. Now we can hardly stop them. Raspberry canes appear all over the flower bed, all behind the garage and into next door's garden. And since then, we've had a steady supply of fresh raspberries every summer. That water is a picture of the Holy Spirit at work, bringing life, producing fruit that lasts. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus at his baptism. So what's the relevance to us? Well, if we want lives that bear fruit for God, we need the same Spirit to empower us. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. We can never do anything of lasting value unless God is at work in us by his Spirit. But how do we receive God's Holy Spirit? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter says to the crowds in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Just splashing someone with water won't give them the Holy Spirit, But baptism is a sign of repentance, turning back to God. And when anyone truly turns to God, God gives them his Holy Spirit. And he's the gift who truly keeps on giving. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus at his baptism. Secondly, approval from the Father. The Father approved of Jesus at his baptism. Look on to verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The voice from heaven is clearly God the Father, and he identifies Jesus as God the Son. I don't know who else heard the voice, but there is one person who needs to hear it above all. To carry out his work, Jesus needs the power of the Holy Spirit, but he also needs the approval of the Father. Jesus needs to know that the Father loves him as his one and only Son. He needs to know that the Father is utterly pleased with him. The words are addressed to us, but they're meant for Jesus above all. Jesus is going to face some horribly tough times in his work, so he needs to know he's doing the right thing. He needs to know his Father's approval. The Father approved of Jesus at his baptism. Have you ever experienced the power of an indirect compliment? It's nice when people compliment us directly, but it's even nicer when we hear people compliment us indirectly. On Hospitality Sunday last autumn, we had lunch cooked by Molly Bradshaw. Suppose I say at the end of the meal, "That was a really nice meal." That could be totally sincere, but perhaps I didn't enjoy the meal and I'm just trying to be polite. Or perhaps I did enjoy the meal and I'm angling for another invitation. But suppose I tell you a few weeks later, "Molly cooked us a really nice lunch." It's an indirect compliment, so it's bound to be sincere. And it's all the more powerful than a direct compliment. And it's like that at Jesus' baptism. God the Father tells us he is well pleased with Jesus, but that message is meant for Jesus above all. The Father approved of Jesus at his baptism. So what's the relevance to us? Well, if we want lives that bear fruit for God, we need that same approval from the Father. Baptism is a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's also a sign of being approved by the Father. When we're baptized, it's as if there's a voice from heaven. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my daughter, whom I love. With her I am well pleased." When anyone truly turns to God, God gives them that same approval he gives to Jesus. And that frees us to serve God joyfully. We're not serving God to earn his approval. We already have his full approval. The Father approved of Jesus at his baptism. Thirdly, commitment from the Son. The Son committed himself to us at his baptism. Look back to verse 13. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." When you think about it, it's very strange that Jesus gets baptized. John is baptizing with water for repentance. He's telling people God's judgment is coming. He's telling them they need to turn back to God. He's telling them their sins need washing away. But Jesus isn't facing God's judgment. He doesn't need to turn back to God. He has no sins to be washed away. John knows all that. That's why he's so reluctant to baptize Jesus. So why does Jesus get baptized? Well, it's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus knows he has to be baptized. he needs to commit himself to us. He needs to identify himself fully with sinners like you and me. And Jesus does that by sharing in that baptism for repentance. Later on, Jesus describes the cross as a baptism he has to undergo. So this baptism in water is the start of his journey to the cross. The Son committed himself to us at his baptism. Imagine you're a driving instructor. You might find that hard to imagine, particularly if you don't drive. But imagine you're waiting to teach a new pupil. He gets into the driving seat next to you. He takes off his helmet and you recognize him. It's Lewis Hamilton. You'd feel a lot like John the Baptist, wouldn't you? Lewis, I really need a driving lesson from you. Why are you coming to me? But Lewis explains, I've just bought the driving school you work for. I'm going on TV to advertise it, so I want to be able to say how great the instructors are. So let's get on with the lesson. And it's a bit like that with Jesus' baptism. Lewis wants to identify himself fully with his new driving school, and Jesus needs to identify himself fully with sinners like you and me. So what's the relevance to us? Well, if we want lives that bear fruit for God, we need to commit ourselves to the Son. Baptism is a sign of being approved by the Father, but it's also a sign of committing ourselves to Jesus. When Jesus was baptized 2,000 years ago, he committed himself to sinners in general. But if we want to benefit from that, we need to commit ourselves to Jesus. We need to recognize only Jesus can take away our sins. We need to accept that work he did for us on the cross. The Son committed himself to us at his baptism. To sum up then, we see three things from the Trinity in these verses: empowering from the Spirit, approval from the Father, and commitment from the Son. So where does that leave us? There might be some here who've never been baptized. Perhaps you only started coming to church as an adult, and you're pretty certain you were never baptized as a child. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to be baptized, to publicly acknowledge your need to repent of your sins, to commit yourself to Jesus, to experience the Father's approval as his beloved son or daughter, to pray for the Holy Spirit's power in your life. Mark would be delighted to talk through the details with you. But most of us here will have been baptized, some of us a long time ago. What about us? Well, let's rejoice in all that our baptism points to: the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Father's complete acceptance of us as his children, and Jesus' complete commitment to us as our Saviour. Jesus' baptism was the start of a new era, but it wasn't unexpected. That's where our reading from Isaiah comes in, hundreds of years before Jesus' baptism. Remember God's message through Isaiah? Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Empowering from the Spirit, approval from the Father, and commitment from the Son. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that baptism meant for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for all that it means for us. We pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to live lives pleasing to you. Pray that we might know day by day your complete approval of us, not because of our own merit, but because of Jesus' commitment to us and all that he has achieved for us. In his name. Amen.